Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Think back to your childhood for a moment. What are the earliest memories you have? What are the first things you can remember? One of my earliest memories is sitting on my mother's lap while she reads to me this book that I read in the children's sermon. The story Jesus tells in today's gospel reading. You could call it the parable of the faithful servants. As a child, I loved this book, especially as I mentioned this picture of the one unfaithful servant hiding his coin by burying it in a cellar deep underground. As a child, I was fascinated by the pictures and story of the parable of the faithful servants. But as an adult, I wonder, what does this parable mean? What is the point of the parable? What is Jesus saying? What is Jesus saying to me? To grasp the meaning of the parable, we must understand two things: the setting of the parable and the earthly elements behind the story. Jesus told the parable of the faithful servants while visiting Jericho, a city 25 miles east of Jerusalem. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, but as he passed through Jericho, he saw a short man up in a sycamore tree. That wee little man was, of course, Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus climbed up the tree so that he could have a look at the famous person passing through town. But Jesus didn't just pass through, he did something totally unexpected. He stopped, pointed up, and said, "Zacchaeus, come down. I am going to eat dinner at your house today." It would be like the president passing through Paola, and without any warning, he stops, points you out in the crowd, and says, "I am going to eat dinner at your house today." Zacchaeus was even more surprised because Jesus was a holy man, and everyone considered Zacchaeus a terrible sinner. He was the local tax collector for the occupying Roman government, a job that made him very rich but also very despised, a collaborator with the hated enemy. Jesus picks out this man from the crowd, this terrible sinner, and says, "I am going to eat dinner at your house today." Everyone is surprised, not just Zacchaeus, that this famous rabbi, this famous holy man, would eat dinner at his house. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Jesus silences their muttering with the declaration, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." The good news of Jesus isn't for those who think they are perfect and holy, because when we think that, we're not admitting our guilt, our helplessness, our need for a Savior. "For I did not come to call the righteous," Jesus says, "but sinners to repentance." Sinners like you, sinners like me, sinners like Zacchaeus. Through this encounter with Jesus, Zacchaeus comes to faith in him. Faith that Jesus is much more than a famous rabbi, much more than a famous holy man, even much more than a human. Zacchaeus accepts Jesus as the Messiah, his Savior and Lord. Later at dinner, Zacchaeus repents and responds to Jesus' message of forgiveness. "Look, Lord," he says, "here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus calls Zacchaeus to faith. Jesus forgives Zacchaeus his many sins, and then Zacchaeus responds by promising to serve Jesus, living from now on a life of generosity, repentance, love. It was right at that moment that Jesus told the parable of the faithful servants. At Jericho, during dinner at the house of Zacchaeus, to Zacchaeus, and all the guests seated around his table. This parable was for them, and this parable is also for us. For just as Jesus called out to Zacchaeus, he calls to you to accept him as your Savior and Lord. Like that wee little man, many of us were called while we were still wee little children. For just as Jesus welcomed Zacchaeus back into God's family by declaring, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham," in baptism, your big brother Jesus welcomed you into the family of God, made you born again as a child of God. Just as Jesus announced to Zacchaeus, "I will go to your house today," when the church bells ring, it's Jesus calling to you, "Come to my house today." Just as Jesus invited himself to dinner at the house of Zacchaeus, he invites you to eat and drink at the holy table here in his house, his own body and blood given and shed for you. Just as Jesus forgave Zacchaeus, Jesus forgives you all your sins. He paid for your sins when he bore them in his body on the cross. Your debt paid, your guilt canceled, your sin forgiven. Just as Zacchaeus responds to this good news by repenting and promising to give himself and his possessions to Jesus, today we confess our sins and receive Christ's absolution and commit our lives to him. And in a few moments, when we take our offering, just like Zacchaeus, we will give to Jesus a part of our possessions. Just as Jesus spoke this parable to those gathered in the house of Zacchaeus, he now speaks this parable to us gathered here in his house. That is the setting in which the parable was told. A parable is sometimes called an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. To understand the heavenly meaning of the parable, we must also understand the earthly elements behind the story. It made sense for Jesus, in that setting, to tell a story about money and business, because Zacchaeus was a tax collector and his friends gathered for dinner were probably also wealthy businessmen. It was a common business practice for them to entrust their servants with a certain amount of capital, expecting a return on their investment. The mina was a gold coin equal to 100 drachmas, like this reproduction of an ancient drachma. One drachma was a day's pay. So the mina was equal to 100 days of work, or about 3 months' wages. You can figure the mina in the parable would be worth about what you make in 3 months. The one unfaithful servant hid his mina in a piece of cloth, probably like this, which you might recognize as a traditional men's headdress in the Middle East. Finally, the king in the parable, who went away to a distant country to have himself appointed king, was followed by a delegation opposing him, and later killed those who did not want him to be their king. About 30 years before Jesus told this parable at Jericho, that exact scenario occurred right there. King Herod the Great died, and one of his sons went off to far-off Rome to be appointed the new king. But just as in the parable, a delegation of citizens followed to Rome protesting his appointment. And just as in the parable, when he was made king, he had those opponents killed. That king built a large palace at Jericho, the city where Jesus was telling this parable. So in that area, the story of what had happened was very well remembered. Perhaps the ruins of that king's palace were still visible through the window of Zacchaeus' house as Jesus told this parable. Maybe as he started, he actually pointed over to that king's palace. So the earthly story Jesus tells in the parable made sense to Zacchaeus and his friends a real-life story of finance, business, money, politics. But what is the point of the parable? What is Jesus saying? What is the heavenly meaning of this earthly story? What is Jesus saying in this parable to you and me? Don't bury what your king has entrusted to you. Until he comes, use your gifts for his glory. For just as an earthly king expects his servants to faithfully use what he entrusts to them, in the same way we are expected to faithfully use for the kingdom of God all that the King of Kings entrusts to us. We must not be like the unfaithful servant in the parable, but the faithful servants, God's faithful servants. For he fills us with faith through the waters of baptism. He fills us with faith through eating his body and drinking his blood and the bread and wine and Holy Communion. He fills us with faith through reading and hearing and studying his word. Like the faithful servants in the parable, we are God's faithful servants. And each of us has been entrusted with certain gifts from him. Our gifts are not all the same, but he hasn't forgotten anyone. Each of us has something to contribute to the kingdom of God. Zacchaeus, of course, gave of his treasure, and that is an important service. Psalm 96 says, "Give to the Lord the glory due his name, bring an offering, and come into his courts." Paul puts it this way in 1 Corinthians, "On the first day of the week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up for the collection." But in addition to serving the Lord the way Zacchaeus did, by offering to him a portion of your treasure, you may recall that in the Gospel of Matthew, a different Greek word is used in this parable for the money given to the servants, a talent. Because of the influence of the Bible on Western culture, it really was from this parable about a king distributing talents to his servants that we got the English word talent to mean a special ability that someone possesses. Paul says in Romans, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. And Peter tells us in today's epistle reading, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Don't bury what your king has entrusted to you, whether it be sharing your treasure or sharing your talents. Until he comes, use your gifts for his glory. And when your king returns, he will say to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Amen.